El Paso has had a long history of supporting grassroots film screening series, and if you chart the history of many of these programs, you'll usually find a common denominator, Jay Duncan. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is no stranger to the local film programming world. Jay Duncan has been presenting films in El Paso for over 40 years through various film series and venues. He's turned audiences onto movies and shared his wealth of knowledge of cinema history. His latest venture, the Sunset Film Society, is back in swing after taking a short break in early August. And I'm happy to have Jay Duncan back in the studio today. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good to see you, my friend.
Same here.
You know, you were involved in the last days of the Plaza Theater when it was still a movie house in the 70s.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know during that time you were programming some repertory cinema, weren't you?
That's true. Our involvement became, evident when it became evident that the Plaza was going to close. And so in order to maintain the equipment that existed at that time, there was an agreement between Interstate Theaters, which did manage the Plaza Theater as well as the State and the Pershing, to not go into competition with First Run. And, of course, we wouldn't have been interested anyway. We weren't going to be bidding on the latest blockbusters that were coming out. So we kind of nickeled and dimed our way through showing in 16mm prints, maybe in some cases of public domain titles that we had, in other cases maybe through Janus, to show a King Kong or a Grass or something like that that would not be in competition with current product. And so, yeah, that's it all began back in about 1974.
Wow. And over the many decades that lead us to your current venture, I know you've screened films at UTEP, at the El Paso Museum of Art. You've taught courses in the continuing education program here at the university. I remember meeting you in the early 80s at the film conventions that you organized downtown.
Yes, that was a nice.
You were on broadcast TV.
That's true. And speaking of the downtown venue, I think though we hadn't met at that time, there's still memories of the congregation of people, I think, at that, because it was an opportunity to see what was then a lost film that no one really had seen, that was not available on videotape, that was not shown on broadcast television. And so, yeah, I've been at it a while and just trying to just kind of poke the embers with a hot coal, stope.
Your latest adventure is the Sunset Film Society, which just a few days ago, I guess you celebrated the fourth anniversary of the founding of the Sunset Film Society. Tell us how that got started.
Well, back in August of 2013, so it just celebrated its fourth anniversary. But prior to that, there was an opportunity being offered by the owner of a historic home in Sunset Heights, the Hickson House, which was a prominent early El Pasoan, became a well-known jeweler in the community, to have a bed and breakfast. And so I kind of partnered with this lady that had been assigned to do this, and we were working on that aspect of it. But in the meantime, let's have a little film society. It's in Sunset Heights.
Hence the name.
In Sunset Film Society, which I think most people agree that that's kind of a good time to watch movies, especially drive-in product, because there's a problem with it during the day. And so we kicked it off on Saturday, August 17th, 1913. Yeah, I've been around a while, 2013, with Somewhere in Time, because it was the setting is about 1912, even though it was made in 1980 and opens in 1980. But in 1912, and the home was built about 1910, and so the ambiance of the historic home in Sunset Heights, I think, added something to the presentation. We had like 35 people, taking up all the furniture, lying in the stairwell, on the floor, wherever they could get. And so we just basically kind of outgrew that. And so we need to find another venue. And so hence, here we are at the International Museum of Art and at Artavino's Desert Crossing.
Right. You've been jumping back and forth to parallel programs, if you will. Yeah. Right. Most weeks, most Saturdays at 2 o'clock, you're at the International Museum of Art on Montana.
That's right.
And then I guess once or twice a month, you do something special out at Artovino's Desert Crossing.
The past couple of months, there have been two opportunities at Artovino's because they wanted to do a patio screening in addition to the regular, normally the, I think the third Saturday of the month. Or Sunday it is. I have to look at my calendar. but in any event, you know, there's been two showings during the summer, and then we'll be back on probably once a month at Artovino's, and then, of course, every week at 2 p.m. at the International.
And the International today at 2 p.m., you're gearing things back up. I know you took a few weeks off in August because of the Plaza Classic Film Festival going on,
mm-hmm.
but your programming goes back online today at the International Museum of Art with, you know, you typically show classic films, but I'm really happy to see The Incredibles,
right.
A fairly recent film.
It's a recent film, but I think it's a future classic if it isn't already. And it's an opportunity, too, before everyone gets geared up and goes back to school to have a couple of family-friendly, you know, animations.
And this is a film about families.
It is.
A super family.
Super family, right.
A superhero family.
That's right.
This is a Pixar film, of course. I love everything. I have to say, I really love this film.
Me too.
It's charming. It's exciting. It's action-packed.
It's smart. It's set in the 60s.
Yes.
So it has 60s music, you know. It's just wonderful, and it's smart, so it appeals to all of us kids no matter how old we are. And so I think it's worth another shot on a bigger than normal television set, maybe screen.
And if you grew up in our relatively our age, you probably mm-hmm. will recognize some of the themes in it from those great big, you know, espionage films.
Absolutely.
And the early James Bonds and
absolutely.
The music, that score that's got that really John Barry-esque
it does. It does.
Feel to it.
It does. It does harken back particularly, I think, to the Sean Connery James Bond movies, the John Barry Association, you know, the Goldfinger, the From Russia with Love and so forth. So, you know, I mean, that right there got
the
me.
Villain with the crazy underground lair.
That's true. It's just a
it
wonderful
it
film. It's a wonderful film. And it's the imagination, of course, you know, just runs rampant in it. And with Pixar, you know, I mean, anything that can be imagined can be put on film or put
now,
on digital.
These at the International, if people haven't been there, this is the former El Paso Museum of Art,
right.
which is on Montana Avenue. And they have a wonderful theater in the basement. Most people don't realize it's down there, but
absolutely.
Wood paneled. And
yeah, you know, it's a nice screen. It's a great sound system, a great Blu-ray capability, high definition.
How many seats do you have there?
168.
Oh, that's quite a large venue.
And it's not folding chairs. It's
a real
seats.
Theater.
It is.
A theatrical venue. Now, you introduce all of the films and give some context and notes so to deepen people's experience. Is that right?
That's right. I try to limit it to where they maybe leave wanting more, because you never know. You don't want to extend your stay, you know. I'd rather have people wanting more than that's more than I wanted to know, you know. So it's just enough, I think, background. And if something notable happened in the case of the live-action films, was there a romance involved, you know?
Right.
Was there something particularly strong with that director or that cast? Try to give a little insight.
Now, giving a little insight, you've got a very big event also this weekend, tomorrow, Sunday, out at Artovino's Desert Crossing. A few months ago, you and Artovino's Desert Crossing partnered on an anniversary screening of The Godfather.
That's right.
With a huge Italian buffet and cannolis and the whole gamut, amazing yeah. spread, and filled their banquet hall.
Yeah, it was.
And you're going to do that again tomorrow, right?
We are. We thought, you know, I mean, in many ways, I think most people agree The Godfather Part II is equal to, if not superior, in some ways. To
one of
the
rare examples of the sequel being as good or better.
Absolutely. And so we're going to do it again. We had The Godfather in April. And so there enough time has passed now, and it's going to be another, you know, Italian buffet specially created for it, and we hope to lightning strikes twice.
The cost?
$34.
And that's all-inclusive?
All-inclusive.
Drinks,
and
food, dessert, everything, film,
yeah,
your commentary.
Well, and two, you know, you can get up and back and forth during the film, to replenish your buffet as long as it lasts. It's not like here's the buffet and here's the movie, so people can right. feel free to roam about a little bit, you know, and
I really loved the last presentation. It was great to be with so many people loving that film and enjoying the incredible meal
yeah.
that Artovino's put on for us.
It's just a wonderful venue, you know, and I think everybody from the people that came to the people that run the establishment were all very pleased.
So this starts tomorrow at 4 p.m. out at Artovino's Desert Crossing in Sunland Park. Reservations are heavily requested.
Exactly, they really are. You know, I know it's easy to throw around that, you know, like, well, reservations, but in this case,
they're preparing a full meal for people, so you really need to know how many people are showing up.
That would be very helpful, I think. And true, you know, I'm sure there'll probably be opportunities to come at the last minute, but I think rather than don't chance it.
Get on the phone today or through their website. I think
absolutely.
You can artovinos.com.
Yeah. Yes.
Just
yes.
artovinos.com. You can reserve a mm-hmm. seat and mm-hmm. a plate.
And it will be the full theatrical presentation, including the intermission and the whole bit, just like shown originally, and it's a theatrical release. So there will probably be 10 minutes intermission because it's 204 minutes long.
Right.
So it's, you know, it needs a little break in there. Get up,
but
stretch.
But I didn't find the first screening all that laborious to get through because
no.
of the food, because of the way the setup was. I thought it was a delightful way to watch The Godfather.
It moves very well. The time you're not constantly looking at your watch. You know, there's something happening all the time, and I think that's a testament to Coppola.
Then you're wrapping up August on the 26th with two screenings, splitting your time between the International Museum and Artovino's Desert Crossing again. Tell us August 26th, what are those films?
Right. Well, you know, we'd mentioned The Incredibles on the 19th, which is running today. And then, of course, Cars will be following up on mm-hmm. the 26th, which is another
big Pixar film.
Absolutely, which has spanned a franchise now as a result. You know, I mean, the third installment came out just in June. So we'll be showing Cars today at 2 p.m. at the International, and then there's a special patio presentation that evening at 9 p.m. of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I think since a lot of people might still have Richard Dreyfuss in their mind from the Plaza Classic, and this particular film is not among those screened, come on out, see it outdoors, watch the skies, and take a peek at the wonderful, hopefully weather permitting, you know, that we'll be able to have it outside, but there will be a contingency plan just in case.
One of my favorite Spielberg films, actually.
Me too.
I think it's beautiful, and to see the vista
yes.
of the city and the mountains while watching the film should be really magical.
Added plus benefits there.
Yeah, we have a minute before we wrap up, but I wanted to mention that, you know, not only have you been showing films for all these decades in various venues and series, but you're also a collector.
Yes.
And some listeners out there, I know that you're always out looking for treasure troves of material. You buy and sell
right.
movie posters primarily and lobby cards and
absolutely.
Things like that. So if anybody out there sitting on a
that's
trove,
right.
how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can reach me through, I'll give you my email address. It's jayspixpresents@yahoo.com. And that's JAYSPIX presents with an S at yahoo.com. I'm primarily looking for anything from, say, the silent era up through the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as we know, posters kind of evolved into giant photo boostas of the stars' faces in more recent years. But at the time, in the silence up through the 70s, there was a lot of art involved.
Illustrative art is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, thanks for all you do for our film community, and keep it up, Jay.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here. Thank you, Chuck.
My guest today has been film historian and director of the Sunset Film Society, Jay Duncan. We've been discussing the Sunset Film Society's fourth anniversary and upcoming events, including a screening of the 2004 Pixar animated superhero film, The Incredibles, today at 2 p.m. at the International Museum of Art. Admission is free. For more information on the Film Society and upcoming events and films, log on to sunsetfilmsociety.org. Duncan has also partnered with Artovino's Desert Crossing to create a culinary screening event celebrating the 1974 gangster epic The Godfather Part II tomorrow, Sunday, August 20th, at Artovino's Desert Crossing. The event includes a presentation of the film at 4 p.m. with a special Italian buffet, and the cost is $34, and reservations are required through the website artovinos.com. A final program note, my own film series, The Film Salon, will continue its... My own film series, The Film Salon, will conclude its summer series celebrating the work of Japanese New Wave director Seijun Suzuki with a screening of his 1967 film Branded to Kill tonight at 7 p.m. at Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. Tickets are just $3. Thanks to Kimberly Garza for engineering today's program. On Film's producer is Dennis Wu. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.